The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. You can listen to past episodes of Sioux Valley Voice online anytime at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from KTNA.org and serving the Northern Susitna Valley. I'm Philip Manning. This is Sioux Valley Voice. This week, even though we're in the midst of summer right now, the school year is, as always, fast approaching, and we have change in leadership at a couple of the area schools, and I have the new principals here with me. We have Lisa Shelby, who's going to be the new principal at Sioux Valley Junior Senior High, and Becky Morin, who will be taking over the reins at Talkeetna Elementary, and they're both in the studio with me this morning. So thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Philip. Good to be here.
So first things first, both of you obviously are no strangers to the local schools here. So give you a moment, let you each kind of talk about your background in education in general and specifically in the area. And Lisa, I know a lot of people are already going to be familiar with you, but if you want to go ahead and give people a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Good morning. So I'm Lisa Shelby, and I have been the principal at Talkeetna Elementary for the last 3 years. And prior to that, I was in Washington State for 3 years on Lopez Island doing as a K-12 principal, and then prior to that out in Galena as a high school boarding school principal. I did my principal internships here in Talkeetna, both at Talkeetna Elementary and at Sioux Valley. So it was nice to come full circle and come back to the community that I love. So,
okay. Becky?
Well, prior to this principal position, I'm coming from Matsu Central, which is the homeschool program with the Matsu Borough School District. I spent 4 years in that position. Prior to that, I was with Galena City School District as the administrator for the Wasilla office, and I spent 4 years as administrator there. Prior to that, I was teacher advisor for the homeschool program. I began my early education career with Alaska Gateway School District, so I was teaching in a K-4 classroom in rural Alaska.
Okay, so both of you no strangers to this area and rural education in general in Alaska, it seems. So I guess, first off, how do you both feel about this pretty big transition for each of you, I guess, going from, Lisa, for you, going from primary to secondary, and then Becky stepping up and wearing the big hat, sitting in the big chair?
I'm excited. I mean, I've done high school before, I had the opportunity to do K-12. When the opportunity came open, I was excited, and I'm excited to get out to Sioux Valley. I think it's a fantastic school with fantastic staff, and I'm excited to see what all I don't know about what's going on there, and letting the community know, increasing communication a little bit out of, you know, just some of the great things that are happening out at Sioux Valley. And I'm excited about the opportunity to work with Becky. We've known each other a long time. And to tie the two schools together and to tie the schools tighter to this community. So,
I'm just so thrilled. I know I have a steep learning curve in front of me, but I have tremendous staff that I'm walking into, huge support network with Lisa being right next door up at Sioux Valley. My why is the kids. It's the kids and the community. It's a special place, and so I'm looking forward to more collaboration and seeing what levels we can elevate things to.
Awesome. Well, for those out there listening, if you have any, we're going to be talking for the next hour up until 11 o'clock. But if you have any questions you want to ask, you can give us a call, 733-1200, and ask those questions of the incoming principals at Talkeetna Elementary and Sioux Valley. So to get started with some more substantive topics, Lisa, I know you had, you worked a lot on a, you called it a STEAM initiative when you first came on at Talkeetna Elementary. So I think a lot of people might be familiar with STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math. You had the A in there for art or the arts as well. And so a couple years on, how is that progressing? And then we can get into a broader topic with both of you about how that's going to continue and that sort of thing.
So yes, STEAM is bringing the art in. You know, art is very important to this community. The Talkeetna PTA works hard, and it's a gift that we get an art teacher who is phenomenal at Talkeetna Elementary, and that is supported and happens because of our PTA. They support and pay for that position to make it happen, and that will continue. So I'm actually going to look at Becky here to answer this question, because Becky has been the STEM teacher at Talkeetna Elementary, and you know, together as this transition, we were already in transition to add some things for next year before this, these shifts came along. So I'm going to let Becky talk about what that's going to look like at Talkeetna Elementary and really how it's been going, because I think it's going fantastic. But she was frontline.
I would agree. It's been going really well. We hope to see it continue and evolve with remodeling the old computer lab into more of a STEAM lab, a creation makerspace kind of a place where the students can create, make, tinker with low-tech things such as your typical toolbox tools, sewing machines, as well as high-tech, the robotics, the coding, the Arduino kinds of things. The district's one-to-one initiative is going to roll into all of this in terms of we've already got the Chromebooks for all the kids. So we're looking at collaborating more with Sioux Valley and getting a nice scope and sequence for what we want the kids to walk through, where we want them to be before they step into Sioux Valley. It's exciting.
Yeah, and at Sioux Valley, the technology, you know, Becky mentioned the one-to-one initiative, and that came on board this year. So both at Sioux Valley and Talkeetna Elementary, we have one-to-one Chromebooks. And, you know, as we do this articulation of what we want kids to know, K-12, and really tie that together pretty tightly across the both schools, the other piece for Sioux Valley is using that individualized learning to increase some of our offerings. You know, we are limited as a rural school for secondary offerings that we can give to kids. And so really looking, how can we use technology to connect with classes that are happening within the district in the Lower Valley that we don't necessarily have the personnel to offer here, but using technology so that we can still open those doors for kids. And then just really personalizing learning for kids to be able to learn right where they're ready to learn and at their own pace, if that works for them. It's not for everybody. So, you know, just having more options for individualizing and being creative for offerings for kids.
Okay. So you've both mentioned the district's one-to-one. Mm-hmm. And Lisa, I think you said that specifically that it's, you know, one Chromebook per child, which for people who might not be familiar is a laptop computer.
Yes.
So how does that in a more kind of nuts and bolts way, how does that program work day to day? What does that look like for parents and students, for people who might not be familiar?
Sure. So I'll speak Sioux Valley, you know, so I'm a parent, so I'll speak from a parent perspective. Essentially what teachers are doing is they're using the Google Suite, using Google Classroom as one example of a learning management system, so that assignments can be posted into this online classroom, if you will. And so you know, the students can't forget their homework anymore because it's online. So they, you know, they can't necessarily leave it in their locker.
Hard for the dog to eat it when it's in the cloud.
Yeah. Not to say that that's 100% across the board, but that is, you know, what a lot of teachers are doing is putting it in the cloud. And that way students can access their work from home or if they're traveling for sports, so they don't have to get behind. They can work on, they can see what's happening in the classroom while they're away from school. So that's a huge piece for them. You know, posting videos, posting ways for students to connect, to see real world examples through technology, to tie to their assignments, are some big ways that we're using the one-to-one at the secondary level and even at Talkeetna Elementary as well.
Oh, absolutely. The teachers K-5 are using the Chromebooks for student learning. The students are using them to showcase what they're learning, how they're learning, using the different apps for, again, it's that personalization that the students are able to, in their very own way, maybe make a video of themselves demonstrating whatever learning objective it is that the teacher is aiming for that particular day.
Mm-hmm. It's a way to individualize with small groups in the classroom while one, you know, group of students can be practicing and working on something through technology or, you know, creating to show.
Yes.
Many of the teachers are, you know, an example would be math, working out a math problem and they're videoing themselves with a whiteboard, working through this math problem, talking it through with a partner, and then the teacher can see that. And, you know, meanwhile, while they're doing that, the teacher's working with someone else. So it's really allowed a lot more flexibility to meet the needs of all kids and where they're ready to learn, whether they need a little bit more support or they're ready to keep flying and keep moving.
Okay. I like that you said creating. I think that's an important piece to all of this, is that if we can shoot for that higher depth of knowledge where students are creating and producing rather than consuming, that's probably the lowest form of these pieces of technology. And so that as we design our educational experiences, we're always thinking about those higher, higher levels of student producing and creating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and my understanding with the one-to-one program is that it's actually rolling out in some of the more rural areas first and then moving into the core, whereas I think people might think that normally works the other way around.
That's true.
So, okay. Well, and I have a question somewhat related to computers and screen time and that sort of thing. But first, I want to remind the listeners, if they have any questions, the number to call is 733-1200, or they can send an email to dj@ktna.org. So titling and separating of generations is something that we've done for a couple of centuries now, I guess. And my generation, we're kind of, I guess I'm on the cusp between the Gen Xers and the millennials, but the generation that's following now, I've heard them called, among other things, digital natives, that they grow up with, you know, mobile devices and the sort of things that we didn't have until we were adults, essentially. And so how does that change things, having these kids coming into the classroom, even at a very early grade level, who can probably work a tablet better than I could? So how does that change, and what sort of adaptations does that take from the classroom to from the teachers?
Well, I one of the biggest things I see that too, Philip. And so as we support our teachers in creating these experiences, letting them know that it's okay to take risks and you don't have to be the master of this machine in order to put it in front of kids, because honestly, the kids are probably going to teach you some things. And what a better experience for the kiddo to be teaching the teacher some many things. I experienced it myself in my engineering STEAM classroom. The kids love to teach things. And so if that can be a component of the whole learning experience, then we're that much richer of a community. You know, we're all learners. We're all teachers. The teacher doesn't have to be the all-knowing author omniscient.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of digital citizenship is what I was thinking as you were talking about that. I think that is key to just helping students understand, even from a very early age, you know, that things are permanent when you put them online, and what does it mean to be a good digital citizen? And I think especially this day and age, helping kids, you know, understand what that means and really, you know, working hard on that. The last 2 years, we've brought the Anchorage Cyber Crimes Unit, if you will, out and done some work with parents and students about digital citizenship. You know, we will continue to do that work across K-12 as a big piece of this as well. And that's really important.
It is. It's a huge piece of.
Okay. And so screen time in general as a component of that as well. I know that there are some concerns out there that, you know, kids are spending too much time in front of a screen of one sort or another. And so how do you balance that in an educational setting where that technology is now becoming a bigger and bigger part of the educational experience?
I think it goes back to what Becky said about creating and producing versus consuming.
Okay.
And I think, you know, as kids are creating and producing, you know, they're out moving around, and, you know, the project is pretty big, and there's a lot of creativity where they can go deeper into learning to figure out how they want to get at an objective versus just sitting and consuming. I think that's a big distinction that we're not, you know, we're trying our best to not put kids in front of a computer to just consume, because I think that's not positive for kids, you know, versus using technology to deepen their learning is good for kids and education.
So more of an active versus passive
exactly.
kind of experience.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so we've talked a little bit earlier about, you know, creating and maker spaces and that sort of thing. And so my understanding is Sioux Valley, there's already kind of one of those that's nascent that was formed over the last year. And then Becky talked about wanting to have one at Talkeetna Elementary now. So for those who might not be familiar, can we talk a little bit about what a maker space is and what people do there and why it's potentially a new avenue for the K-12 experience?
Well,
yeah, go ahead, Becky.
sure. A makerspace, you know, ideally, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's going to be something that is unique to each school. I am hoping that ours is more student-designed. So we had initially went into this with lots of ideas of what the adults thought should be in there. And now I think that that's important, I think it's also going to be equally important to bring the students into it. And what's going to make our makerspace unique to Talkeetna Elementary? It's got to be relevant to the kids. So their ideas are, that's what's going to make it relevant. And then the sustainable piece, something that we can sustain from year to year. Makerspace can be just about anything you can think of. It can be low-tech contact paper, and the students are bringing in nature from outside and creating patterns and creating art. It can be high-tech Lego walls and magnetic boards, and the possibilities are endless.
And I know at Sioux Valley that they, right now, they're kind of skewing more toward the high-tech end of things. I know that there's some, you know, small computers and robotics and that sort of thing going on as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and hoping, you know, once I get up there and see kind of the lay of the land of what's actually happening and getting a chance to talk to teachers and kids, mm-hmm. as Becky says, about, you know, what they're looking for, you know, I envision also a place to tinker, you know, if you will, and just a place where kids can get in, give them some both low-tech tools and some high-tech tools to just see what they can do. Mm-hmm. And I've seen makerspaces where there's a weekly challenge and you put out a weekly challenge and you see who can do that and all the different ways that kids can get to this challenge. And that's some of the beauty of, you know, kids teaching other kids or just watching other kids, the way their brain works to get to that challenge is very different from someone else's way to get to that challenge. And so, you know, I think this will be a work in progress, and I'm excited that, you know, both Becky and I love this concept. And so we will be talking a lot and working across to see, you know, how we're going to pull this together and see what it'll become over the course of the year.
Okay. And, you know, you said you both love this concept, and that's another topic I really wanted to get into was the transitioning and that bridge between primary and secondary education. And I know that one thing that's already changed in the past was sixth graders now going to Sioux Valley instead of staying at Talkeetna Elementary, although I guess the option is there for them to stay. But you were telling me before we came on the air, Lisa, that nobody's opted for it, that they've all opted to move on to Sioux Valley. Mm-hmm. So given that you do have a fair bit of experience working with each other, and it seems like you're on the same page with a lot of these ideas and initiatives, what is smoothing that transition look like in your minds going forward?
I mean, I think, you know, the first year, so 2 years ago when they opened up sixth grade at Sioux Valley, we did, I believe, seven kids did end up staying at Talkeetna Elementary. And then last year, and it looks like going into this coming year as well, students are not choosing to stay at Talkeetna Elementary, but the option is there. And I think part of that is smoothing that transition is, I think I have some ideas of ways we can make it even better. Some feedback from parents who were on the fence and really, you know, having a hard time choosing what they wanted to do for their child. It's a big step, sure. You know, and especially with a 6-12 school, that can be a little frightening,
right,
for people who are not familiar with older kids. And so I have some ideas that parents, you know, helped me form about ways we can do that transition better. But we... you know, I think getting the kids out there more. We've talked about some K-12 events that we would like to pull together and pull both schools together. For example, the Veterans Day Assembly that has been at Talkeetna Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that I had done in the past as a K-12 principal.
Right.
And it was really the high school kids that ran it. And I just modified it for the elementary and the student council to run it. So it'll be fun to kind of give that back to the high school crowd and then
sure.
pull it together as a K-12 event for our community. So that would be one idea that we've already talked about, but just looking at ways we can bring them all together so that the elementary kids, Sioux Valley's not a strange place. You know, it's somewhere that they're, you know, they've seen, and they know those kids and they know the families, and, you know, they're getting to know the families and kids from Trapper Creek and Willow,
right,
as well, because that's a unique piece of Sioux Valley. Yeah. What else?
The only other thought I had was that this community does such a good job outside of the school walls of creating intergenerational relationships. Mm-hmm. We always have big kids taking care of little kids. You see it everywhere you go. The comfort level is there for the most part. So I think that construct that is already there helps smooth this transition too, mm-hmm, to that. These are the same kids inside that big, scary Sioux Valley,
right,
school.
Right.
It's a caring, loving place, mm-hmm, as well.
Okay. And so, no, that was an interesting point you brought up. You know, when we're talking about the age difference, and especially now with sixth graders being in there now, it sounds like you've both got plenty of experience with that sort of thing in the past, with having those large swaths of ages of kiddos in one single building. So, I mean, is it when you've got 17, 18-year-olds in the same hallway as 12-year-olds, and I know there's a little bit of segregation between middle and high school at Sioux Valley, but what's that dynamic like?
I think in reality, the big kids really take good care of the little kids. They really do. And I think, you know, the beauty of our community, as Becky says, is the small school even more so, because they know each other and there's a lot of empathy. And,
okay,
you know, I think we purposefully work on building that empathy between older and younger kids. You know, as a K-12 principal, we did what we called K-12 PACs. I mean, we're doing PACs at Talkeetna Elementary K-5, and in my previous experience, we did them K-12. And, you know, we purposefully did activities where we put, you know, those 17 and 18-year-olds in charge of, essentially, through games and things that we would do together. We did an open house where the elementary students got to show off their classrooms to the high schoolers. And there's nothing better than watching the 18-year-old melt and do whatever that 6-year-old wants them to do, and watching the, you know, the 7-year-old crawl into the lap to read a book. And, you know, as Becky said, there's a lot of empathy. And even though they're in big bodies, they're still the same kids that are embraced in this community and the same families that have grown up together and know each other. And, you know, I think a piece, again, that's unique to Sioux Valley that I'm excited to go experience is bringing those other communities in, you know, those, the Willow and the Trapper Creek, you know, our Talkeetna kids kind of, they know each other from preschool forward and they're in the same class, you know, and I think it's really healthy. I love the fact that they get to Sioux Valley and then all of a sudden there's new friends and new faces and, you know, it shakes that up a little bit. And so I'm excited to go see how that really works. And, you know, I've watched it as a parent. And it's healthy. It's wonderful. And, to create those new relationships. And so, you know, ways that we can, as if we can do some ways to pull K-12 together so that they can get to know those other kids, with those relationships, that'll even strengthen it. So,
okay. And so you mentioned pacts. Mm-hmm. So we've got a few minutes left before we take the break at the bottom of the hour here. So how does that work? What does that look like? And
pacts at the elementary school it's a designated time every week where the students are broken up into pacts, K-5. So there's kindergarten through fifth grade students in a pack. And these groups of students are together all year. And it's an unstructured, unacademic time. It's more of that social, emotional connecting with each other so that when we're out on the playground or walking down the hallway, you see some familiar faces and it increases that comfort level. So it's once a week, and it's unstructured. Sometimes the packs go outside and play. Sometimes they're working on projects. One of the highlights of my pack this year was we created a book for the preschool class that demonstrated how these kids can create all these different structures with the blocks in their classroom. And so that was a fun way for my pack to come together. And then, of course, presenting something, a gift to another class is always filling the cup up.
The other nice part about that is teachers too. You know, that if you only teach a younger grade, it's kind of hard to get to know the older students. So it breaks that down as well. So just the whole building gets to know, you know, more kids. And it's just a way to help build that empathy. And just, you know, we went to a K-5 lunch as well. And, you know, they just look out for each other. They do.
Okay. So we are just about to the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a quick break here. You are listening to Sioux Valley Voice on KTNA. My guests this week are Lisa Shelby and Becky Morin, the incoming principals at Sioux Valley and Talkeetna Elementary, respectively. If you have any questions during the second half of the show, you can give us a call 733-1200 or send an email to dj@ktna.org. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more Sioux Valley Voice. back with the second half of Sioux Valley Voice. My guests on the program this week are Lisa Shelby and Becky Morin, both incoming principals at area schools, Sioux Valley and Talkeetna Elementary. So we talked a lot in the first half about some of the nuts and bolts of technology and transitioning between primary, secondary education. I want to start off with the second half, because you both brought it up a lot, and that's community and aspects of the community and the importance of the community in education. And we were talking a little bit during the break. So what are your philosophies on community engagement, for one? And then we'll talk a little bit more about kind of the specifics of the unique aspects of this area in a minute. So community engagement, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think, we're in a unique position. It's kind of the beauty of small schools and small communities is there's a lot of community engagement that exists. And with the small schools, relationships are really strong between and among students and staff. Students aren't just a number. They're not just, someone that may or may not attend the school. I mean, we know our kids, and we know them well, and we know their families, and we stay connected. And I think that lends itself to the success that we see in the schools is those relationships. There's a lot of caring about kids, and it's really kind of a whole family approach, a whole child approach, and a whole family approach of, what can we do to support as a larger community, as a school community, how do we support whole families to help students, children be successful in school? So
absolutely. I would echo the relationship piece. It's so critical. If you don't have a trusting relationship with the kids, you're not going to open that door wide open to the education that's possible. Same thing with the parents and the community. You need those trusting relationships to move forward and build newer, greater things.
All right. So for folks out there listening, if you have any questions you want to add or join the conversation, the number is 733-1200. So let's talk a little bit about the community in this area specifically. One other thing that I brought up during the break was that all of the schools in the Upper Susitna Valley here are all Title I schools, meaning there's a lot of families who are struggling financially in the area. And do you see that as having a major impact on education in the area? Or is it just something that is there and is obviously acknowledged, but maybe doesn't have a huge day-to-day impact?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I think, demographically, I think we've shifted a little bit to see more, families struggling than we have in the past. And I think that, I don't know what exactly that attributes to. Personally, I think it may just be, the population growth in the valley and, just pushing that north. It's definitely something we have to pay attention to. And it goes back to what I said before, those relationships and kind of the whole family approach of, what do we need to do as a larger community and as a school community to help everyone be successful? And sometimes that's thinking a little bit more out of the box, if you will, to make sure that kids have everything that they need for us to be able to move forward and help them be successful.
Agreed. Having an awareness of their background and where they're coming from and what are their needs and what resources can we reach out to and services to help them fulfill those needs.
Okay. And so with that in mind, we talked about, and we were, Lisa, during the break, you mentioned kind of the ups and downs, the positives and negatives of small schools and small communities. And we've talked about a lot of that. But when it comes to some of the drawbacks, because I think we've talked about a lot of the positives at this point. So what are some of the challenges that being in a small town, small community places on educators and administrators and at the K-12 levels?
I mean, I think a couple of things pop into my mind. Hiring is a challenge. I mean, when we go, being in a big district, when someone applies to the district, they're really applying to be in the Lower Valley. And so, hiring a teacher with a spouse who is a professional and wants to be employed is very challenging because it's hard to do that without looking at a commute. And so I think that's challenging, to find the right high quality people to be in our buildings that want to be here and that fit in a small community, you know, as far as their life. And so I think that's a challenge. I think, you know, limited resources in this, I think, again, on personnel and just choices, especially at the secondary level. You know, we don't offer Russian, Japanese, and Spanish. You know, I mean, we just don't have the personnel to do that, and we won't. You know, I mean, that is definitely, when you're in a small school, it's, you know, you're kind of choosing that intimacy of relationships and those pieces of knowing each other well over, you know, having more choice, if you will. And, you know, we're going to try to bridge that gap as much as we can using technology.
Sure.
I think we can definitely do that for kids. It exists. And, you know, we'll be looking to increase those elective options and even some core options through technology for individual kids as much as we possibly can. But I would say those would be two big challenges that pop up immediately in
my
mind.
Budget for me is what I'm learning about the past month, is diving into my Title I budget and realizing it's $10,000 less than it was last mm-hmm. year. And so there's some decisions to make within that, which are challenging and difficult.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
So my answer to that so far has been, how many grant applications can I get filled out before the school year starts?
Right. So on since you brought up budget, that was another topic that I wanted to get into. And so this year at the borough level, there's a flat funding. And then at the state level, there was a lot of uncertainty there as well, that it might even go down as much as 5.7%. That ended up not happening. So looking at across the board, pretty much flat funding for education in the area. But of course, costs are ever increasing, inflation and other logistical costs. So what does that look like in terms of the budget impact on the local schools? And then in a moment, we'll talk more about one of the new borough proposals that might change things. So first of all, what's the impact of the flat funding for this year on your respective campuses?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I think, you know, like you mentioned, so flat funding, getting the same dollars that we received in the past, is essentially deficit funding because costs go up. You know, every, you know, personnel is the easiest one to wrap your mind around. I mean, you know, we're unionized and the teachers union, and every year they get a raise. There's a step, and insurance costs go up. And so, you know, because of that piece, the flat funding is deficit funding. And so as far as impact on our local schools, we each lost a half a position. So I lost a half a teacher at Sioux Valley, and Becky lost a half a teacher at Talkeetna Elementary. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that other than, you know, I guess we were sort of pleased that that's all we were hit with, to be
right.
quite honest. It was definitely touch and go there for a little while, and that's
sure.
high stress. And, you know, it's a lot of advocating and, you know, talking to our assemblymen and legislators and really, you know, trying to just get people to voice their concerns and with education funding. And so that's where we sit right now, that we will both be moving forward in this next year with, you know, down a half a position.
So. And has it been determined how exactly that's going to fall at each of your schools at this point? Or
yes, and it is going to basically we hired one teacher who's actually going to be split across both schools serving kids, which has some challenges.
Sure.
In that it's not ideal, but in the big picture, it was palatable. There could have been other cuts that would have had larger implications
right.
for kids. And so this is actually palatable, even though it'll be challenging for us to meet the needs. It was more palatable than other cuts that could have been made.
Right. Well, and I know, yeah, you talked about the legislature, and the Senate's plan specifically was the one that would have cut 5% and then had a cut to the base student allocation that, is kind of the backbone of a lot of the funding. But a big chunk of that funding does come from the Mat-Su Borough as well. It's the largest line item in the Mat-Su Borough's budget. And this year, I know one of the things that was discussed during those budget discussions was that they're at the revenue cap. They're only allowed to collect so much revenue from property taxes and from other things. And so one item that's going to be coming up before the Borough Assembly is whether to put a sales tax on the ballot to help fund education. And so that's, you know, going forward, it's I guess technically a little less certain how much revenue would be coming in for that, but it's reasonable to assume that it would be a fair bit. So we're going to get into that in just a moment, but first I want to remind folks of the number, 733-1200, or email dj@ktna.org in order to join our conversation today. So on the topic of revenue and this idea of a sales tax, where does that stand? And I know it was a proposal that was brought up by the district and the school board. So what's the reasoning there as far as you're aware, and where do you see it going?
What was proposed by the district was a seasonal sales tax for coming into a seasonal sales tax for the borough.
Sorry, summertime, it happens all the time.
And then those revenues would go to education through the borough, and so that would be part of the appropriations allotted to the district. So I'm not sure exactly when that will reach the ballot, but I believe it'll be this fall. And, you know, we have to do something. And I think a seasonal sales tax, from my perspective, again, is palatable. You know, there's a lot of people that come to Alaska in the summertime that spend a lot of money.
Sure.
And that might be a fair way for us to get some revenue for our local schools.
Okay. And well, like you said, you know, it's kind of one of those something's got to give at some point, right? And so I think people are starting to realize that it's that they may not necessarily have to accept this idea, but of a seasonal sales tax, but that either some means of increasing revenue to cover ever increasing costs is going to have to happen, or else there's going to have to be significant cuts and maybe restructuring and that sort of thing. And so it's got to be a tricky situation, especially as either coming into a new building as an administrator or stepping into a new role in an administrator as in a familiar building. Becky, I know you said that right now one of the things you're really doing is wrapping your head around that budget and
right.
and what that all exactly means. So we've got about 15 minutes left in the program, so I want to give you each the opportunity to talk a little bit about what you're really excited about in the coming school year, and you know what you anticipate to be one of the bigger challenges that you'll see in the next school year, and how you plan to tackle it. So we'll start with what you're excited about. So go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I'm just excited to, you know, I mean, I'm on my own learning curve in a different way, moving into Sioux Valley. So I guess I'm most excited about getting in and meeting kids I don't already know. You know, the kids all the way through freshmen I've had at Talkeetna Elementary, but I don't know all those Willow kids and Willow families and Trapper Creek kids. So excited to get to know them and create those relationships, creating relationships with staff and just getting to know what's happening and where people want to go and what kids need and want. So I guess just I'm most excited about just that first year of, you know, Sioux Valley's not a school that needs change necessarily right now. It's a good school that has great staff and great kids. So I'm excited about that. That's a new role for me to move into a school that's functioning well. And so I'm excited to kind of roll in and just see how things are going and see what direction staff and families and kids want to take it and what creativity we can put in place. I love that problem solving and creativity piece of what can we do and how do we go at it, even in times of dwindling budgets. I'm excited to see where things are going to go and just excited to meet new people and make new relationships.
Okay. Becky, what are you excited about in the coming school year?
Oh, I'm just so looking forward to working with the kiddos and seeing their bright faces every day. We already have lots of things planned coming up this school year. And again, some of these things are, it's the community reaching out to me saying, hey, did you know about this? And so Kathleen Fleming has already reached out, and she's going to work with some staff, and we'll have a all-school viewing of the partial solar eclipse is what it will be for us in the beginning of August. We also have a cohort of teachers that are going to attend iTrek, which is Iditarod Trail to Every Classroom. So this is going to be a great opportunity for these teachers to create some place-based educational experiences for the students this year. And that also dovetails into the young woman, Anya Redondo, right, who is qualified to run the Iditarod this year. I've reached out to her. We're hoping to do some great collaboration with her, supporting her endeavor, but also doing some student design projects around that so that they are learning about the mushing community that already exists within the school. We have lots of kiddos who have parents mushing, sure, and keeping dog kennels. So we have lots on the plate for the calendar year, and my learning curve is steep, and I'm ready to embrace it. It's going to be great.
Okay. So, and then on the other end of that, anything that you anticipate might be a particular challenge stepping into your new roles?
I already alluded to mine as the budget.
Sure.
It's that we have less of a Title I budget this year, and so my solution so far has been to write grants.
Mm. And I would piggyback on that. I think, you know, while we've only lost a half a position as we roll into this school year, if something doesn't give, you know, and I mean that from the state level, you know, they haven't still, they passed a budget, but they haven't figured out how to close that gap. And,
right,
you know, as we look, you know, how the school year rolls, usually by January, we're looking ahead at the new, mm-hmm, year. And I, that worries me, you know, and so I think that will be a challenge, is just looking at the budget as a whole as we move into the year and anticipating what next and how, mm-hmm, we make sure that we keep options open for our kids, and just how do we do that in these times. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be weighing on all of us.
Yeah, and I would think that the whole budget uncertainty is that happens kind of at every level, because I've talked with, you know, the members of the borough assembly, the borough mayor, about when the state process runs this far over to the point that the borough's already got its budget kind of done and dusted, but there's still that level of uncertainty from the state, and it kind of impacts everyone, because, you know, not only at a school level even, but a lot of the borough functions rely on state funding. And then there's, you know, of course, things like local revenue sharing that have a more localized impact. And so in for the last 3 years, I think that there's been a big discussion around, you know, is forward funding for education something that's an option? And it's been brought up, but has yet to kind of come to fruition, I guess. So, all right. Well, with the last bit of the program here, and we do still have time if anybody wants to call in, 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So, Becky, you talked a little bit about some kind of events and things that are going to be coming up. We are in the midst of summer break right now, but as we get closer to the school year, I know there's registration days and open houses and meet the teacher nights and that sort of thing. So are those already kind of scheduled out, planned out, or is that going to be kind of developing as we go forward?
I think it'll be developing as we go forward for both of us. You know, we haven't really had a chance to talk to staff yet, as everyone is spread around the world.
Sure,
really.
Everybody's on vacation.
Yep, yep. And so as we, you know, I go back to work July 18th, and I think, Becky, you're a week behind me.
I go back the 27th.
Mm-hmm. So okay. as we roll back into the buildings, we'll start to wrap our minds around some of those events and then get the word out. So.
Okay. Enjoying a little bit of summer vacation yourselves,
yes,
then,
yes.
before heading back to work. Okay. So, and then, you know, just anything else you wanted to add regarding, you know, anything you want the parents or community members out there to hear about what you plan for their kiddos or for the community's kiddos in the year ahead and how, what they can expect, I guess.
Sure. I think from Sioux Valley, you know, I would like to really focus on communication and really want to communicate more with families about what's going on and be asking more, you know, what are you looking for? I enjoy hearing from parents and from community members, you know, what do you want to see? What do you want to see happening in our schools? What's available in our community that I may not be aware of that would be helpful for students? You know, what connections and partnerships can we create that would create more local opportunities for students? And so I highly encourage people to send me an email, call me, you know, just let me know what's out there. And oh, yes, thank you. Becky's doing some sign language at me. That is one addition that, you know, as talking about increasing options and electives for students, one thing that we'd like to do, and I mentioned this earlier, was to tap into using technology to tap into classes that may be happening in other schools in the district. And so this fall, we will be piloting an American Sign Language class that is being offered at Colony High School. And that will be during a 0 hour at Sioux Valley. Basically, Colony starts earlier than we do at the first period class at Colony. So it'll be a 0 hour class at Sioux Valley. And, you know, students or parents who are interested in taking American Sign Language, please get in touch with me. You can sign up for that class, and it will be delivered, in lifetime via a teacher that is at Colony via technology. And so we're excited about that as a pilot, and then we'll be looking, you know, that's exciting for me to be looking, you know, what other options are there that we can open up and offer to kids as we continue to move forward. So, yeah.
Okay. Becky?
Well, for Talkeetna Elementary, I'm walking into such a strong, stellar staff already. View my role is to really support the staff so that they can support the kids in growing educationally. Students, maybe one of the goals I think about in an ideal world is taking a little more agency over their learning so that they can, they're really speaking to what is it that I'm working on this day, this week, this month, and taking some ownership over that. But other than that, wow, you know, we already have such a great little school, and so just continuing all the relationships that already exist and growing these kiddos.
Right. Well, so you've both mentioned a lot of things. You know, Becky, you just mentioned, you know, agency, and earlier you were talking about having big students being creators with technology as opposed to consumers of technology. And it just, as it's all kind of piled up over the course of the hour, it's really struck me how much the education, the design of education has changed, even, you know, since we were in school. It seems like it's vastly different. And so what do you see as the future going forward? What does education look like, do you think? And we'll start easy with maybe 5 years. I won't ask as far out as 10 years, because I imagine it changes a lot in that amount of time. So in the next 5 years, where do you see each of your respective campuses and the learning styles there? We've talked a lot about what your plans are, but as the world changes in the next 5 years.
So I'll start with that. I think student choice is huge. I mean, I think that, you know, we had a chance to go to a digital leadership class to be professionally developed right after school was out. And, you know, one of the things that really struck me through that was this idea of student agency and student choice of, you know, learning needs to become more individualized because, you know, it's not a factory model. The kids don't all learn the same way. They don't learn at the same pace. And so I think the more we can embrace that and allow more student choice and allow, you know, choice in how they're going to approach an assignment to choice in what classes they're taking all across the board, I think it is huge and is a direction that education is going. I think technology, the use of technology to help create some of that choice is a direction that education is going. You know, gosh, 5 years sounds like a really long time,
to be quite
honest. And, you know, I'm sitting here like, I don't know that we know what education will look like in 5 years,
I think that's a fair answer.
Yeah, I mean, things are changing and shifting. And while sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, it still looks the same as it has forever, in some ways it's speeding along, you know, and things are becoming antiquated pretty quickly, or just not even that, but just new things coming at us
just constantly,
you know? So I think you can almost get paralyzed and overwhelmed by everything that's coming at you, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think we have to find some things that we do well, I think, and that again comes back to student choice. Like, what do they want? You know, what are they looking for, and how do we best help them move forward to be successful for whatever success looks like for them as they, you know, exit Sioux Valley. So,
okay,
I would agree. I feel like it's gonna go more student centered, the personalized learning, all these buzzwords. But that is the direction it's going with the advent of the World Wide Web. The world is at their fingertips. For Talkeetna Elementary specifically, in 5 years, I'd like to think that we've made some connections with people internationally, that we are growing our cultural awareness and seeing that different people aren't necessarily so different. The teacher's not necessarily the center of the room anymore. The teacher is the more the facilitator and the giver of the immediate feedback along each student's personalized project, whatever it is that they're working on. I suspect in 5 years, it will be more of a students learning to design their own education to meet each of the standards along the way.
Okay. So, and that was a really interesting point you just brought up, which was it broadening cultural awareness and that sort of thing. And I think that's maybe one of the other challenges of living in a rural area is that it can be hard, I guess, for students sometimes to see the broader world. And technology has certainly kind of brought a lot of that.
That's available now.
Right. Yeah. It's all right there at your fingertips, like you said, Lisa. So, okay. Well, we are just about out of time. So if there was anything either of you wanted to add in closing.
Just thank you for having us
today. Absolutely.
Of course.
Thank you.
Really excited about moving forward and really excited about the collaboration. I don't even think we've had a chance to really wrap our minds ourselves around all that's possible with us in these roles. So really excited to move forward through this year and just see what the future holds.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both very much for coming in. You've been listening to Sioux Valley Voice. My guests this week have been Becky Morin and Lisa Shelby, the incoming principals at Talkeetna Elementary and Sioux Valley Junior Senior High School, respectively. They'll be starting work here over the course of the next couple of weeks, getting ready for the 2017 through 2018 school year. And if you missed any part of the program today or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast tonight at 7 o'clock, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. For KTNA, I'm Philip Manning, and as always, thanks for listening.